Nicole, you took a picture of this word, didn't you? Now, we have two problems. Number one, nobody here reads Hebrew outside of myself. And number two, you're never going to see that word in the Hebrew Bible. Well, you're going to see it every page you open, but you're never going to see it like this, because it never stands alone. It's a prefixed word. You say, what does the word vav mean? Normally means this. But there's an assumption. I don't know. I'm looking at Ezra, Dada. Dada, if you're speaking Tagalog, you still remember how? You're better now than you were a few years ago. Going to the Philippines refreshes you. If you go into the Philippines and you're speaking in Tagalog or half and half, Taglish, what happens if you don't know a word in Tagalog? Or worse, they don't have that word in Tagalog. What do? You just stick an English word in there, correct? Why is that? And you do that without thinking, correct? Why do you do that? Because you know something about Tagalog. What do you know? It's an intuitive understanding. Limited vocabulary. Not going to have all the technical words. Oh, by the way, it would be the same in medicine. If you were a doctor, see, you think it's just the Bible. If you were a doctor and you were doing medicine, when you come to the medical terms, where do the medical terms come from? The Philippines or America? So you're going to be speaking Tagalog and just stick an English American technical word in. Folks, you go to Mexico. I met a doctor in Mexico several years back. Jenny and I were going to Mexico. Nice guy. His English was horrific, but he could read it as well as I could. Because in medical school, their medical textbooks are in English. So here this guy is. His primary language is Spanish. He speaks broken English with the terrible accent, but he can read English as well as I can. But when he's speaking to a patient and he comes upon something, he's going to have to steal English. Folks, here is the problem when you read the scripture. You assume other languages are identical to yours. Now, understand, in Tagalog, can you say the same things you say in English? The answer is yes. Normally, though, it's more like this. You have to go circumlocution. English has something that other languages don't have, including Hebrew and Greek. I used to hear Hebrew and Greek were magic languages. They're the best languages in human. Oh, my goodness, nonsense stuff. Here is Greek vocabulary. Here in the Bible. This is Hebrew. See the whole whiteboard? Multiply it times 50 and you have English vocabulary. Do you understand that? So when you're reading that little word vav that means and, here's your problem. It means a whole lot of other things too, because they just don't have a big vocabulary. No ancient language does. So they use one word for 15 or 20 words. Why? Because that's all the words they had. English has, I'm assuming, I'm not an English scholar. English people can correct me. English is the best language in history. It's by far the biggest. There's nobody even close. Why is it bigger? We have the unique ability to steal other people's words and make them English. So when you look at American English words, they always say something, they came from, we just steal them from everybody. And we slang them into English, and plus we have the ability to create words. I don't know what the second largest language is. My guess is Spanish or German in those areas, but English is, it's so big. Folks, if you get an unabridged dictionary, you ever seen one? Here's your problem. That's not all the English language. What's missing? There's no medical terminology in there. There's no technical terminology. Do you not know that every discipline has its own technical language? Folks, if you ask me how many words are in English, I don't have a clue. Nobody knows. I've never tried to impress people that I know technical terms. People that try to impress you are fools, frankly, for two reasons. Number one, you don't care because you think you're smarter than everybody else anyhow in the room. That's the nature of being a human. So you get this here? So when we come across, now you're not going to be able to see this unless you look it up. And remember, it never stands alone. It's always going to be a prefix to some other word or some other person, always. And I have in your notes, it is perfectly proper. You will see it in these three forms, actually. The first way is the one I have on the board, which is kind of the classic form. The next one you find a lot also, and you pronounce them differently when you're reading Hebrew. Ve, vu, va, something of that nature. I say it's an inseparable. Inseparable means it does not stand alone ever. And what does it mean? It means and. So, then, when. Do you get all those? Even, or. What's the next word? So here you are, you're reading the King James Bible and you're reading the ESV, and the ESV translates the word but, and the King James translates it and if you're a King James only kind, oh, corruption, the devil, Antichrist. Actually, the word va means both of those and a whole bunch of other things because Hebrew vocabulary is small. Folks, we have too many words. Is that right on? Do we have too many words? Yes. So many words. And then the worst thing is, how do you pronounce them? My favorite. By the way, whoever left this word around in English ought to be hanged but to the neck until dead. Any word with an O-U-G-H. Rough. Slew. What? Just on and on. That's a terrible, wherever it came from. Now, let's make it practical. Can I make it practical for you? Who has an ESV here reading this morning? Nicole, do you have it with you? Or Dave does. I trust Dave more than you. Dave, look at Proverbs 16. I'm going to have you read some verses we have in the notes. They're in the notes already. So I say in your notes, by the way, you don't have to fill anything. Actually, you do. You have to write down the things that help you remember. You know what the purpose of notes are? To help you learn, not so you have something in your hands. So you can perfectly fill them out and perfectly learn nothing. It's the strangest thing that when you read the Old Testament, the word vav, the and word, is used at the beginning of most chapters. Modern translations usually just drop it. King James will stick it in there, but it's... So when you read Genesis 3:1, the word now is actually the word and. Genesis 4:1, and. Exodus 1:1, that's my favorite. Now these are the names. You just begin, but it actually begins with and. And then the English, we're going to have to say, now what do they really mean by that? Modern translations, by the way, generally just drop it. Because if you ever read in the King James, and he answered and said unto them. And if you say that in modern English, what would you do? Do not speak. When you read that in modern English, and he answered and said, what would be your first thought? Somebody is what, Steve? Somebody's asking a question. And he's... Here's the problem. That's just a Hebrewism. It just means he said. That's all it means. Uh-oh. Now, the King James, I actually honor it because it exactly translates it. But see, you've read it and never even noticed it. That's embarrassing to you, isn't it? It's in there hundreds of times. It's just one of those weird ways we express language. Now, there's others. Go to now. I still don't know what James 4:13 means. Go to now. You say, what's the Greek mean? Go to now. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of like that famous English expression, shake a leg. Shake a leg. Come on, shake a leg. But by the way, don't feel bad. Every language has weird expressions. I was asking, I'll ask Michelle because she's smart. I don't know about this guy. You have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. What would you call a great-grandchild? Do you know the word? You don't remember? Dada, what is it? Great-grandchild. Which means what? Something of the knee. It's like, what's a knee got to do with something? And the answer is, I don't know. Has something to do with, you had an extra knee? All right, we move on. Every language does this. This is normal. Can I have an amen from all the grandparents? Oh, that's a given. That is a given. Let's look at Proverbs 16. Dave, I'm going to have you read it afterwards. The preparations of the heart in man. And the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You see, the word "and" is this preposition. Everybody see that, Dave? So it translates it, but. And immediately, conspiracy, it's of the devil. Stop! Do you ever say something like this? Preparations of the heart in man. And the answer of the tongue, on the other hand, but. Hello? So when you read the Bible, by the way, I'm not telling you to trust the ESV. I'm telling you to do that thing which some of you don't like. Think. Language is not as dumb as we are. We use the word "and" to mean "but." In this passage, it's like on the one hand, and on the other hand, which means "but." Got it? I agree. ESV is easier for most people because we don't think well. But I'm just throwing this out because you're going to see it no matter what translation you use. Folks, remember, they only had this word. For all of those words that I have in your notes, they have to choose. Okay, we continue. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Could it be, and the Lord weigheth the spirits? Yes, if you're doing on one hand and on the other hand, you have a but, don't you? But it puts "but" there. Is that proper translation? I think the answer is yes. I'm assuming the ESV has a but, correct? Yes. Verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself. See this little word, folks? Yea or yes. What? How does yea function in the text, in the King James? How does it function? As an adversative. So it's functioning as a but, more or less. Dave, how does it translate it there? So it just drops it all together and just says even. Well, it's there. All right. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth is iniquity purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Dave, how's that? Does it use "and"? But even that "and," folks, is an "and" like this. Read the first line, somebody, from the text. Dada, read the first line from verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And then this is this kind of an "and." Go ahead, "and." Do you understand how they were stair-stepping up? We're saying something more? Things are purged, cleansed, yes or no? And even more than that, what? By the fear of the Lord, we're not only cleansed, but what? What? We depart from evil. That's more than just being cleansed. We're departing. That's typical of Hebrew poetry. This line adds to the thought. Well, I can see this stuff really works for our brains. Yes. 16:9. I'm thinking the ESV has the same. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Does it say "but"? I put in your notes, "and" in the dictionary that I have at home on my desk that I use just about every day. Well, I use a dictionary every day because I read from Kindle, so I use a dictionary every day. It says, and in my English dictionary means this, and also, in addition to, in contrast to, but. That's what the word and means. But Pastor Warren, I had a preacher that said and means and that's all that and means. He's a fool. That's what you say about him. He doesn't understand even English. Got it? Folks, language is language. Learn to read. But I hear these little sayings, and that little saying I gave you, I've heard a lot of times. Wow. All right, number two, or seven, excuse me. It's not number two, it's number seven. Proverbs, you're going to find this in the scripture, as mere observational wisdom. I don't know who the author of all the Proverbs were, but some of them, I'm pretty sure, whoever learned them in all of these was from Chicago. Now, the ESV is going to translate these differently because it's going to assume you cannot think. And after being around Christians, I've come to realize that might be true. So let's read these together. Proverbs 18:16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Isn't that great? Boy, she has a gift. You ever hear someone say that? There's only one problem. That's not talking about that kind of a gift. It's talking about a Chicago gift. What kind of gifts are in Chicago? Well, if you vote for this, I'll give you this. And hello? So let's read this as a... We never have that happen. Well, that's exactly what it means. It means a gift. But it's, Mike, here, I'm going to give. So here's John. John is the guy that's the gatekeeper at the university. I should choose Dave because Dave comes from more corrupt backgrounds. So I come to this guy. And he's the gatekeeper to the university. And I say, John, let's see how smart you are this morning. I'm going to give you a gift. All right. Did you hear what he said? Not enough. Now, folks, what I just said, I see, even the word in English, you realize what? All right, so here's Ron. Ron's the gatekeeper, and he says all it was a gift. You see, I don't think that would hold up in a court of law. No matter how dumb you are reading English, that doesn't hold up in a court of law, does it? Well, no, it's according to who the judges are. Who is the top of the Supreme Court judge in the state of Illinois? Who is it? She's related to somebody that's very important in the Democratic Party. What's the name? It's either Madigan or it's the other guy. One of those, Tom will find it. She's in trouble right now. Folks, how do you have someone that's in charge of the Democrat Party and your wife is working as a Supreme Court justice? Here's a gift. John, here's a gift. It's just a gift. Utang na laob. For life. Yes. By the way, what do they call those when you go to jail? They don't call them gifts, do they? Can I ask you a question? Is the Bible then commending, for all of you Billy Jim Bob Baptist, is the Bible then commending that you do business this way? Actually, he's just making an observation. This works. Yes. Tom, did you find out who it is? Yeah, but she's one of them. One chief. She's Berg. There you go, Berg. Thank you. I didn't think it was Madigan. It's Berg. There you go. I can't. Jim, it was just a gift. We better move on. We're going to get in trouble. Proverbs 17:8, everybody. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. Right. But the funny part is, Amy, I know the Hebrew words. They also mean presents or gifts. So when I give you a gift, am I bribing you? Not really. Of course, I never give you gifts, actually. Yes, Tim. Well, it could be anything. Well, yeah, but the problem is that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about money. It's talking about favors, gifts of any variety. Well, because you're trying to make it positive and make it religious. And actually, the author of Proverbs is just stating a fact. This is Chicago, Chicago.
The next one is a little bit more obvious.
Yeah, some of them are more obvious than others. Thank you. By the way, and I want to tell you what, I used to read it that way. Because the Hebrew word can literally be translated a present, like you'd give your child. But let me ask everybody in this room. Dada, let's ask him. Are there people that give you gifts that aren't giving you a gift? You see, I deal with Filipino pastors. The older guys will give a younger pastor money, which means that guy is loyal to that guy for the rest of his life. So is it a gift? Not in the sense that we think of a gift. You understand? That's what's being talked about. Let's keep reading. Could. How about this one? Proverbs 17:23. This is an obvious one. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of justice or judgment. Proverbs 21:14. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and the reward in the bosom strong wrath. 19:6. Many will entreat the favor of a prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Well, no, that's not. The Bible is not totally correct there. Because what I find is, when the truth comes out about these people, who's Ed Burke? What's his name? I don't think I've ever met him. Have I ever been to his house? Folks, the last mayoral election was a joke in Chicago. Because all these people are in bed with criminals, or borderline criminals, or whatever you call them. And when one of them is under indictment, nobody's ever met them before. I'm being funny. I hope I'm being funny. Now, I want to see, I think some of you are not missing, you're missing my point. What kind of wisdom is this? This is just the way sinful world works. Has it always worked that way? Folks, actually, only in America do we really even kind of go after this. In most countries, this is the norm, until it's so far out of control that they have to stop it. It's expected. It's expected when you come into power, you bring your people with you, and you have to pay off all your people. In the ancient world, it would have been worse. I've said this before. These passages speak to me because I remember working in a hospital setting as a boss. You know the difference between a boss and an employee. Employees complain, bosses have to make choices. What you buy, you understand, what you buy. And when you're buying equipment, and I never worked in any big high-priced place, but in the lab we'd buy equipment that would cost $500,000 to $2 million. That wasn't even where they wanted you to get you. It was the stuff, the reagents that went with the equipment that you had to restock constantly. It's where the money was. You're the boss. So they'll take you out to eat. Jay Wagner, a guy I worked with, was the best guy I ever worked with. He was extreme. He said, if I can't eat it, I don't take it. Period. It's like, wow. But I've said this before publicly. I worked in a laboratory very much part-time, per diem, actually. When I walked into the laboratory, big place, every place I looked said Baxter. Toilet paper said Baxter. I'm exaggerating slightly. The pen said Baxter. The Kleenex said Baxter. The beaker said, I'd never been to a laboratory where every single item said Baxter. Now, are you a smart person? If you've never been in that position, you don't even know what I'm talking about. See, you're used to complaining about the boss, because that's what you do. Somebody was getting what? Jim, you would know that. You wouldn't even have to work there. You'd walk in and know something's going on here. Because normally you have to take bids and you have to get all that stuff in. Everything was by one company? I'd never even seen anything like that. Well, I found out this guy had a very comfortable place in Florida that through the process of time was purchased for him. I don't know how that worked out. Okay, everybody with me. So when you read Proverbs, sometimes it's ugly because, well, it's because of the next statement. You all ready for this? What's the perspective of Proverbs? Proverbs is primarily written for a dad to speak to his son. And even more importantly than that, maybe a dad like Solomon or aristocracy preparing their son for what? Look me in the eyes. I'm not mad at anybody, but some of you won't hear this. If your job your whole life was always the employee, you never have been tempted in these areas. He's trying to prepare his sons for what? How to deal with bribes. What that means. So Egypt comes and Egypt wants to offer you Egypt, exactly. Why do you think Egypt went on? I never said Solomon learned it. I never said he practiced it. I think it's bigger than that. I actually think the reason many of us don't fall into temptation is we've never been tempted. I've never been tempted like some people have. Sorry, some guys in this room never been tempted except your silly little petty sins. You know, you get in the right spot. You know, I don't want to get into the Me Too mess because I think men should keep their hands to themselves. Can I have an amen? Treat women properly. Period. But having said that, do you think all the women that are going after all these guys, sounds like a lot of them were being paid very well, and when they stop getting paid, all of a sudden they have been molested or whatever. Some of them are just straight out. They just want money. They're not even going after them criminally. They want a payoff. People don't do things for free. Hello? So Egypt comes calling. Yes, Solomon wants his sons to know what that means when Egypt comes bearing what? What is the old statement? Greek, beware of a Greek bearing gifts. Yes. So let's look at these verses real quick. Anybody got questions before we do this? This makes sense to you. The perspective of Proverbs is very simple. It tends to be for a son from dad. So it's my son. Now that doesn't mean a girl can't learn anything. My son, if thou will receive my words. Well, I'm assuming my daughter works too. My son. Now, interesting, chapter 4 says, hear you children. It's not geared as much just to the son. But chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, what's chapter 7 about? I'm assuming everybody knows what chapter 7's about. You know, it's the terrible story of what? Young man's at home and there's a woman. He's a simple man, and not in the good sense of a simple man, bad sense. She's a foreign woman. She's very exotic. Now, could you teach that to your daughters? Yes, it'd just be the reverse. Is both of them true? Yes. So friends, when you read the book of Proverbs, it was set up in the basis of dad talking to son, and even more importantly, dad being somebody that's in government, talking to their sons, preparing them for, these are the things you're going to face. Is this important? Is it important for you to talk to your children about this and grandchildren? If all you've ever done is work at Walmart kind of environment, these things are not your temptations. Your temptations are laziness, complaining, gossip. But yeah, they come. So the three things I wanted to talk about this morning, big time, is the problem of the Vav. Got that one? I want you to know there's a lot of Proverbs that's observational. It's just kind of, it's wisdom, but it's not saying, well, if a gift gets you through the door, give a gift. No. It's saying, this works. This is going to happen. You're going to experience it. You're going to see it. And you're even going to have guys as bad as John when you offer that bribe. He says it's not big enough. You're good. You're good. Where did you learn that evil from? Lastly, the perspective of Proverbs is, as I say, father to son, and the training of a young man in and for the royal court. Obviously, this canon should be seen through the eyes of any and all. And on that, we're quitting early today. Father, thank you for this day. Bless our time in Christ's name. Amen.